The scriptures from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deeds of power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except the staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. And he said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So when they went out and proclaimed that all should repent, they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Earlier this week, I was off reading one of my favorite websites, ESPN. And I ran across an article about the Special Olympics. It was a story about this gentleman that they have recently hired as a motivator, but also a director for their urban projects. His name's Ray Roberts, and he's a former NFL offensive lineman. He had been hired by Special Olympics after the president of the Special Olympics program had heard him speaking one day to a group of inner city high school kids. And he heard him speaking and was impressed by the message that Roberts had given to the kids. And so he wanted Roberts to come and be a part of Special Olympics to promote, encourage, and support the programs that were needed in the urban areas of our country, in schools that probably more often than not needed something like the Special Olympics program in their schools, but as we all know, inner city schools have a really hard time with money, and they normally can't afford to put the program on. Now, the article was really well written, and I really liked it, but what really caught me and what interested me the most was not the fact that Special Olympics went out and hired a former offensive lineman to be their director of urban programs. What caught me was a quote that Roberts gave to a group of inner city special needs students in New York. As the group was gathered together, he said this to both the students and the administrators. He says this, "Do you remember who you were before the world told you who you should be? Think about that." It's a very powerful statement. You see, Robert's message to those kids and to the administrators was something like this. When we're younger, we believe that we can be anything that we want to be. We believe that we can be policemen. We believe that we can be professional athletes. We believe that we can be doctors and astronauts and Spider-Man. Okay, I believe that could be Spider-Man. As we get older and as we get into the world begins to tell us what we can't be. You're not smart enough. You're not good looking enough. You're not athletic enough. You don't have these cool things that shoot webs out of your wrist. Can't be Spider-Man without the webs crawling. What Roberts was saying is that go back and remember what you believed you could do before the world told you you couldn't, especially among some of the special needs students that participate in Special Olympics. The group that Roberts was speaking to is a group that is labeled in their school as intellectually disabled. I hate using that term, to be honest with you. Everybody's on different levels. Some have a harder time with learning and those things than others. And this is the group that Roberts was talking about, kids that don't do so well in the classrooms but might be perfectly capable of doing something on an athletic field. He reminds them that they have the ability to do whatever they believe they can do. One part of the article that told the story about how these kids in this inner city school in New York had teamed up with kids from one of the most exclusive private schools in New York City, and they had a united field hockey team. So you had these special ed kids and these high-end, super intelligent probably, if we've ever been into a private school, that's normally what you see. Kids playing together on a team that finished in the top five of an international tournament and built friendships that even though they're not playing together in the tournament anymore, the team's not playing right now. These are kids, high school kids, mind you, that are texting one another because they built the relationships together. We have to believe that we are capable of doing anything. I think belief is a powerful, powerful thing. It gives us the ability to create some things that are wonderful, that are amazing. But it also has the ability to create something that's awful. When we believe in something, we grasp on it and we hold on to it with all that we have, lest it slip away from our grasp. By the same token, if we don't believe or we believe the wrong things about ourselves, that ability, it has the ability to slip away from us, and it has the ability to become a mythical entity in some far-off past. I always believed that I could be a starting running back in the NFL. Then I realized that I was too short. In the text that we have from Mark, as we were reading through it, and as I was reading through it, the thing that stood out to me more than anything else was the power of belief. It wasn't that Jesus was rejected by those who should have known him best, but rather it was that he was unable to do the work of God in their community because of their unbelief. As the story goes, Jesus goes back to his hometown, and we hear about how he He's there and he's preaching in the synagogue and he's teaching. And those gathered there hear it and they think to themselves, who on earth is this guy? Where did he get this wisdom? Isn't this the carpenter? It's Mary's son. We know all his brothers. His sisters are here worshiping with us in this synagogue. He can't be the one. He can't be the Messiah. He can't have the ability to heal. His wisdom can't be from God. They believed what they thought they knew about Jesus when Jesus was growing up. They believed that this was still the one who probably went and helped his dad fix the furniture in their house or do work in carpentry around their homes. Their inability to believe in what they were seeing was a detriment to everything that could happen in the community. And Jesus couldn't work there. I find that fascinating. The Son of God, who does healings and preaches and casts out demons everywhere else, can't do it in Nazareth because the people don't believe in him. Mark simply reports it this way. He could do no deed of power there except as he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. I wonder sometimes what deeds of power God can't do because we don't believe. What are the things that God's trying to do with us and in our communities that can't happen because of our own unbelief? I think there are times that we get so bound up in thinking about who we were or who we think we're supposed to be that we forget that through Christ, God has the ability to do anything that God wants to do. Do amazing, spectacular things. God has the power to work through us and in us in ways that we can't imagine. But sometimes we don't believe that God's capable of doing that. So I wonder what we're missing. Is there work that can be done that we aren't engaging in because we're stuck with believing that we are still who we thought we once were? Do we say to ourselves as church, we can't do that because we just don't have enough people, or we don't have the money to do that? Have we forgotten the active work of God in us to do great things? Have we forgotten that God raised Jesus from the dead? I'm not sure that we remember that sometimes. God is always at work in the world. And I wonder sometimes if we still believe that God is still at work in the world. And if we don't, for some reason, believe that God is still there working every day in the world, I wonder what it is that we are hindering God from being able to do. Are we willing to believe in the Son of God? Or do we still want to think of Jesus as a simple carpenter? God can and does amazing things in the world. God continues to speak and to work through the Holy Spirit. The story in Mark of unbelief of the community of Nazareth is followed quickly by a story about the disciples who Jesus says, go, do this work. You've been given authority over the demons and over the people. And they go out, and what happens? It's not Jesus who's doing this. It is his disciples who are healing people and casting out demons because the people that they went to believed that they had the authority to do that. And they believed that they had the authority to do it. The story of unbelief and God's Son being unable to do the work of God in a community is followed by those who God commissions to do the work, being able to do amazing things. The message from Mark, and I think the message from Ray Roberts is the same. Don't believe what others tell you. Believe what you know about yourselves, whether that's individually or as a community of faith or anything, any other organization. We need to dream dreams. We need to live into the possibilities that lie before us. We can't let the world tell us what we can and can't do. We have to strive and step out in faith. And faith in what God can do through us and what God is doing without us. We need to believe in who God created us to be. And so it starts with belief. It lives in faith, and it is shown in power and love and grace. We need to stop listening to what the world says and start listening to who God is calling us to believe, to be. And we need to believe. Amen.
Somewhere listening, somewhere. dost thou stand just over in the glory land? Just over in the glory land. I'll join the happy angel then. Just over in the glory land. Just dost over in the glory land. There we are. The mighty host thou stand just over in the glory land. Just over.
And now let us leave this place showing the love of God in all that we do by being faithful witnesses to the grace of Christ and living in the power and the joy of the Holy Spirit. Amen.